Thank you. You may be seated. Sometimes people have the opportunity to introduce someone and they'll say they're humbled and they're honored and they're not often sincere, but I want you to know I am giving you the most sincere welcome this morning and telling you that I am humbled and honored to be able to introduce our speaker to you this morning. Quite some time ago, two churches became one, Riverstone Community Church and River City Family Church, and we came together as one body and one church. One of the first men I met from River City Family Church was a gentleman named Glenn Ellison. Brother Glenn said to me the first time I met him, if there's ever anything I can do to help you, please let me know, and I will. And I can't tell you the number of times over the years that I've called on Brother Glenn to help me, and he's always been there. He's a true Barnabas Spirit Christian gentleman. And we're so grateful to have not only Brother Glenn, but his sweet wife, Sheila Ellison, as a part of our fellowship here at Riverstone. Brother Glenn and Miss Sheila lead the Parent Help Center. They also lead Success Camp. Almost this entire summer, Brother Glenn will be spending his time with young men who desperately need Jesus and who desperately need his ministry. He's getting ready to start a camp with 49 young men. And so we'll be praying for him throughout the summer as he conducts Success Camp. But we have the joy and privilege of hearing him this morning. And I want you to give a warm welcome to Brother Glenn Ellison.
Amen. I love what I do. Can I get excited today? I mean it. All my life, I've been excited about something, and when I find something I believe in, whoa, watch out. And I believe in what I'm getting ready to tell you with all my heart. His name was Elliot, world traveler. You know what a man can do by himself in the world? Well, he was lost. And he did everything that a man shouldn't do when he was away from home. Now, his poor wife was home trying to raise his grandchildren by herself. The world was coming apart. Elliot comes home, and on Christmas Eve night, he was locked out of his own house. He knew he was a miserable man. He knew there was no hope. And so he checks into a motel room. One purpose: to commit suicide. His life was over. He walks into the room and he immediately sees a Bible laying on a stand. He knocks that Bible off. He is mad. And he kicks it under the bed, but it didn't go under the bed. One of those bed racks that goes all the way to the floor, you know? And it laid there open. And he got to the book of John, and it said, and I don't know why I don't have that in front of me, "Peace I offer you." Well, there was no peace in his life. None. And so he read the scripture for 3 days and never left the room. He came out of that room saved. No preacher, no witness, nothing but the word of God. He goes home. He asks his wife for forgiveness. On Sunday, they go to church and he walks the aisle and accepts the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But that's not the end of the story. He's now a preacher in North Carolina. His life was changed by a book. Well, I'm here this morning to talk to you on behalf of a ministry that I've been involved in for a long time. Put up that first slide for me. The Gideons... I was sharing my testimony in a little church on the south side of town many years ago. I got finished, and an old man, gray-headed man, I'll never forget, Pete Whitaker, he came up to me and said, "Son, you need to be a Gideon." I said, "A what?" "Have you ever checked into a hotel room and found one?" "I want to tell you how it got there today, because it just didn't show up. And by the way, it's harder and harder to get these in a hotel room today." Pete says, "You need to be a Gideon." I said, "Okay, what's that? Why did I say that? Why would I even consider being something I didn't know anything about?" Because I knew Pete Whitaker. I knew he was a man of God. I knew he was walking the walk, not talking the talk. And I wanted to be just like Pete. 38 years ago, I made that commitment. And I'm still fired up about placing the Bible in the traffic lanes of the world. Not hoping it'll make a difference, but believing God's word will not. What? Amen. And I got so many testimonies. I don't have enough time. They only gave me a few minutes today. I don't blame you. Brother Rick's never heard me talk before, and I scare people. I do. I scare them because I believe what I'm saying. I will not let you down, preacher. I hope. So, I want to tell you a little bit about the Gideon ministry. It was founded in 1899. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard anything bad about the Gideons? No way. Nobody's ever run off with money. Nobody's ever embarrassed anybody. The Gideon ministry was founded by two businessmen. That's four. Two. I went to Paxson. I'm sorry. I'm a West Side boy. Two businessmen, and back in 1899, they were lucky to have a hotel room, so they found themselves sharing a room. And they found themselves both on their knees praying to the God that changes everything. They became friends, and they decided, since they traveled all over the country selling stuff, why don't they take one of these little books and ask the hotel to place them at the counter back then, and if anybody wanted one, they could come get it. That was the beginning of the Gideon ministry. But then one day, a preacher said, a Presbyterian preacher of all things, said, "Could we help y'all? Could we take up offerings in our church and give them to you so you could place Bibles in the traffic lanes of the world?" And that's how this church became a part of the Gideon ministry. You're sending men and women out every day. In fact, every 2 seconds, a Bible is being placed in the traffic lanes of the world somewhere by somebody. 2 seconds. The Bible says, Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Guys, that's a command. Guys, the only reason I'm standing up here this morning is because I am an obedient man. I'm a Marine. Hoorah! And Marines do what the heck they're told to do. They don't ask questions. They do. I'm sorry. I'm already getting excited. They do what they're supposed to do. And so I've been going in the traffic lanes everywhere I go, telling people there's a God that fixes stuff. Next slide, please. I thought I was going to see that slide up there, but I can't. But that's okay. I got this stuff memorized. Today, there's more than 269,500 Gideons and auxiliary around the world in over 200 countries. Territories across the globe. Are we there? Amen. That young lady's doing a fantastic job back there. Thank you. Randy got to Portugal. He was in charge of the distribution for the whole nation of Portugal. The moment he gets there and they start handing out Bibles at the first school, one of the teachers came up so excited, saying, "Man, I'm glad you're here. We've been praying and praying and praying that God would send us English Bibles." Randy says, "Sir, I'm sorry, but we've got nothing but Portugal Bibles. Portugal, Portuguese." "Yeah. Don't tell me I'm wrong." "Portuguese Bibles." The teacher said, "Oh, my kids are going to be so disappointed. They were hoping they could get God's Word in English so they could help learn the language." So the teacher reached in the box and pulled out, guess what? An English Bible. Hundreds of thousands went into the nation of Portugal. Randy says right now, "I know God can change water into wine, but I also know He can change Portuguese into English." That was the only book there for that one school. Don't tell me my God doesn't do miracles. Don't tell me He can't do what He said He would do. A miracle. The Gideons have placed, with your help, 2 billion Bibles around the world. Who do we give them to? Firemen, policemen, medical personnel, prisoners, military personnel, students in the fifth grade. Hold your hand up if you got a Bible when you were a little kid at school. Old people did. It's hard to get a Bible in a school today. In America, but not other places in the world. They're standing there begging for a copy of God's Word. It took 93 years to place the first 1 billion Bibles. Why do we place scriptures in the traffic lanes of the world? Because of Isaiah 55:11. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please." Have you read in the Bible someplace that God can't lie? He can't. He won't. He said His word would not. Let me tell you about a garbage truck. You know those guys that ride on the back and they dump the garbage in? Well, he's doing his job. He gets to the garbage can, he looks in it, and he says, "Whoa, this is what he saw, one of these." He's not a Christian. He cannot throw that in the garbage truck. He takes it out, he wipes it off, takes it home and lays it on his mantle. No intentions of reading it, none. But one day, the Holy Spirit of the living God called that man to the foot of the cross. That man got saved, his wife and 4 kids, because of that one Bible that came out of a garbage can. Isaiah 55:11 is true. And all we have to do is put it in somebody's hands and they got to deal with it. We're handing out Bibles at the college over on Roosevelt Boulevard. Old Gideon, older than me. Standing there handing out Bibles. We said, "We got a free gift." You know college kids will take anything free? Anything. So this kid takes this Bible. He doesn't even know what it is. It's one of these. Brown one. Takes about 2 steps. He went, "Whoa." He turns around and looks at the Gideon and throws it back at him. Hits him right here. Bam. And falls to the ground. And walks away. All day long, God started speaking to that boy's heart. He may not believe what I believe, but he knew he was wrong. His mama and daddy had done a good job teaching him the right principles of life. He comes back that afternoon. Gideons are standing there handing out Bibles for kids that are coming back in for the night classes. He says, "Sir, I don't believe anything you have to say. But I want to apologize to you for the way I treated you. You didn't deserve that." He was an old man. He didn't deserve to be treated that way. "Will you forgive me?" And the old man said, "Yes, sir. I'll be glad to forgive you. But do you have 1 second that I can talk to you about this book and how it changed my life?" And right at that college, I saw an old man lead a little boy, a young kid, to Jesus Christ. Oh, man, don't you love doing that? Don't you want to see people get saved? I do. Scriptures are also placed by Miss Sheila. I call her my Gideon. The Gideons call them the auxiliary. And when I went into the ministry, she didn't know she was coming too, because she loves the Lord as well. The auxiliary places scripture in hospitals, convalescence homes, medical offices, domestic violence shelters, prisons, and jails. 14 years after the first billion, the Gideons have placed the second billion. What's it going to be next year? Who do you know that might need Jesus Christ in their life? All you got to do is say, hey, I found this book, and in the front of it, it's got all kinds of things that I can find help for, such as lust, pain, sorrow, when I'm tempted, when I'm committed adultery, when I'm conceited, when I'm drunk. Right here. It helped me. I'm going to give it to you now. And turn around and let the Holy Spirit of the living God do what He can do better than you'll ever do it. 14 years, a second billion. I bet you we beat that record. Guarantee it. Well, you know, a lot of times you get speakers up here, and I've already been warned. Glenn, if you go over your time, you're not ever coming back. I'm punctual. When I die, I'm going to be early for my funeral. I don't like late. I'm going to finish right now. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How can you support this wonderful ministry that will never let you down? Number one, you can pray for more funds and more open doors, because they're closing in America. Pray for that, please. The next time you see a homeless person, remember the Gideons are trying to reach that lost person. The next time you see a kid screaming and yelling, remember the Gideons are trying to reach that kid in that school, because that's the only hope they have. They're not going to get it from the school system, I can guarantee you that. Pray for open doors and funds. On our giving tables, you'll see some envelopes for support of this ministry. This little book, well, you can't give this book. This is my book. This one cost me $1.30. I've been handing them out for 38 years. I don't know how many we've handed out, but it was the best investment I've ever made. If you want to buy a Bible, just put $2 in there. I'm not going to give you any change. I'm going to take you $2. And buy me a Bible so I can go to work. If you really have a lot of money, $5. What would you pay to see your uncle, your brother, your sister, your mama come to know Jesus Christ? That's how you can support this ministry. Another wonderful way, and it's back there on the piano, is what we call the Living Memorial Bible Plan. Is anybody in here in the florist business? Anybody in the florist business? Good. You'll never get a flower from me. You'll get one of these cards. This one is about life. This one is about in memory when you pass away. And by the way, when I do die, don't send any flowers to my funeral. Send these cards. And we'll still be working long after I'm gone. Birthdays, Christmas, anniversaries, all kinds of cards that you'll spend. By the way, you know cards are expensive today? Do something for eternity. It's back there. Check them out. How does the Gideons function financially? Because it's a business. We have to run a business. We have to pay the light bills in our office up in Nashville, Tennessee. How does that thing Get supported, not by your dollar. Not 1 cent of your dollar will ever pay a light bill, pay a missionary to go. A missionary, by the way, is me, to another country. How do we do that? Every one of us, all 200 plus thousand members, pay dues. That pays the business part of running this organization. Your money does exactly what the Gideon says it's going to do. Place Bibles in the traffic lanes of the world. I'm finished, but I'm not finished. That's kind of sound like a preacher, don't it? I want to thank my pastor for trusting me to be where he normally stands, because he's a much better man at doing what God's called him to do. But I believe with all my heart, every single one of us in this room is called to do something for the kingdom. Something. I don't care if it's... I walk by the nursery. Lord, do they need help? Don't you grandmas and grandpas know how to take care of kids? Well, I got their attention. Parking lot attendants. There is something. By the way, William, I've been wanting to talk to you about... I want to join the choir. I can only sing one song. Y'all want to hear it? I'm going to sing it anyway. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we all serve. Can't you get excited? Well, I want you to watch one testimony. A preacher's boy who went haywire. Great story. God bless you. Thank you.
My name is Ryan Reese, and I grew up in Los Angeles, California. And when I was growing up, I was a son of a pastor, but there was always still something inside me that wanted to see what was on the other side of the ministry, like the music, the art, the rock and roll. So I'm working in the music industry. I'm working in the skateboard industry for about 18 years. What did I find there? I found money. I was traveling the world 9 months out of the year, working with some of the biggest rock and hip hop bands. The cocaine like crazy, tons of Xanax, alcohol like crazy, drinking every single day. And I just, all my habits increased because I had more opportunity. More parties, more opportunity, traveling the world, living this dream, and nothing can satisfy my soul. And it all boils down to where I'm in Costa Rica and I OD for the third time. And I just remember being in my hotel room and I'm like, Jesus, I'm like, if you exist, reveal yourself to me. Prove that you're real to me. I need you to show up in my life and I need you to heal me and I need you to radical change me. And I remember going, man, I'm going, is there a Bible in here? And I'm like, I know there's these Bibles in these hotel rooms. I would see them all over the place. I'd be high on cocaine and open the door or the drawer and see a Gideon Bible. I steal it. I put it in my backpack because I'm going to find God. So I throw the Bible in there. I get on the plane. I start reading the Bible, the Gideon Bible, for 6 hours straight from Panama City all the way to LAX. And as I'm reading, the whole skateboard team, the photographers, the filmers, everyone's looking over at me, reading the Bible, the cocaine pirate. And I remember when I landed in LAX after reading the living word of God, which is the DNA of Jesus Christ. Landing in LAX and just feeling that peace that I've never felt. And I remember just going, God, I don't know what you want to do with my life. Here I am. Do whatever you want to do in my life. And I said, God, thy will be done. The Whosoever's is a movement of whosoever's leading the way to reflect Christ in culture. Our verse is John 3:16. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So now what we're doing is we're going to public high schools with a full stage sound and setup. We got skateboarders, music, a band, I speak, different speakers. There's hundreds of kids that show up. We meet with them, we talk to them, we pray with them. I had a real encounter with Jesus Christ, and he's real, he's alive, and he transforms lives. If I could meet the guy that put that Bible in that hotel room and just say, well done, faithful servant, look what you've done.
You can be the one to place that next Bible for that preacher's boy who found God. I read a lot of books. I read a lot. But only one book has ever changed my life. Brother Marshall.